All right, well, let's offer you up something here this morning. WWIB, I don't know, technical difficulties. Internet's down and multiple tries on even different phones. And when I call our buddy Jason Cans from jasoncans.com, author of the soon-to-be-released Letters to the Beloved on his 49th birthday, October 25th. So, again, not able to reach him either this morning. So, anyhow, yeah. You know, we both, Jason and I, huge fans of the late Dr. Larry Crabb. He passed February 28th of this year. And one of his books, in fact, people call it his magnum opus, is a book we talk about a lot, 66 Love Letters. It influenced Jason's thinking in writing Letters to the Beloved, as did, I think, you know, various sources, but Henry Nouwen's Life of the Beloved. Anyhow, it's 66 Love Letters, a conversation with God that invites you into his story. And so in the back of the book, in the epilogue, and there's a great little story here, because I remember being at the conference in Houston in May of 2019, and it was a conference centered on this book that Jason had written and edited called Living in the Larger Story. And it talked about the Christian psychology of Larry Crabb. And so anyhow, somebody asked, is a psychologist, a counselor from Canada, I want to say Toronto, and he said during a break, he's like, what's your favorite book of the ones you've written? And he said it probably was 66 Love Letters. It took him the longest to write, 5 years. And he said, and then even more specifically said, the part in the epilogue that basically sums up the Bible in 66 paragraphs is probably even his favorite part. And it meant a lot to me because it's like my favorite part. So I want to share it with you here this morning, at least a little bit. This is as if God himself is summing it up. And it's the story, part one, a fall, a promise, and the story begins. And it's Genesis through Deuteronomy. First of all, Genesis. Long ago, before time began, the three of us decided to create people like you whom we could enjoy as they enjoyed us and the beautiful world we designed for their home. But your first parents foolishly decided there was more happiness to be found on their own without me. Never underestimate the mess their decision made of everything and the mess your same decisions continue to make. And never underestimate my ability to clean up the mess and to bring everyone to our party who wants to come. I have a plan. That's Genesis. That's the longest of the four here in the first five. So as far as Exodus here in it reads like this: I will do whatever it takes to fully restore my family and to have them with me forever. My plan centers on revealing the lengths to which my love will go to bring you to my party. You walked away from me, but when you realize who I am, you'll want to come back. Of course, then it's Leviticus, summed up this way, Crabb's understanding of the way the Lord would do it. You really have no idea how foolish you've become. You actually believe that you love well enough to win my approval. You don't. Getting you to think right and love well is the toughest part of my plan. It'll cost me the death of my son. Numbers, summed up this way in one paragraph by Crabb in 66 Love Letters, imagining the Lord to say, and there's a price you must pay as well. I must let you realize that the mess your choices create puts the happiness you want out of reach. Humility comes hard to proud people. The return path to me will involve suffering and misery. At times, you'll think it's the path to hell. It's not. Trust me. And finally, Deuteronomy, as we close out the first five books of the Bible in the story everyone needs to hear. The first five, at least. Deuteronomy this way: you're a slow learner. Before you learn to follow me closely, you'll make an even bigger mess of things and get yourself in real trouble. You're a born lawbreaker, a natural sinner. But remember, you can't outsin my love. There you go. It's the first five, and maybe we can pick it up from there in the not-too-distant future. But again, it's from the epilogue of Larry Crabb's 66 Love Letters, a wonderful imagined conversation between the late, great Larry Crabb and his dear, beloved Lord. So there we go, WWIB, October Connect Month. Well, big news yesterday in space, right?
Yeah, so this was supposed to be 8:30 Eastern time, about 7:30 our time. I know we talked about it right before. William Shatner, yeah, to become the oldest person to visit space. It didn't happen right on schedule. It's happened sometimes with these space flights. But yes, just before 11 a.m., he launched from West Texas on Blue Origin. The 90-year-old Star Trek veteran actor William Shatner became the oldest person to visit space.
Uh-huh.
Now, I mean, it's kind of, you think, not everybody has this opportunity
right.
because not everyone is famous enough to be friends with yeah. the founder of Amazon, who's one of the richest men in the world and just designs rockets to take mm-hmm. everyday people up to space. But Blue Origin, founded by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, its second human space flight. Jeff did it first. I don't remember when that was, a couple months ago
yeah,
or something.
Right.
Uh-huh. William Shatner and three others were launched in the rocket from that West Texas site. And landed safely back on Earth several minutes later. So this was not a multi-day mm-hmm. astronaut
just like
type
the
of space
Bezos
flight.
Trip, yeah, up and down. And I heard some of his comments this morning where Shatner's saying, like, you know, I want this feeling to just stay with me. You know, well, I mean, it's like, yeah, the ultimate amusement park, right?
And this is the thing. He says it's unlike anything they describe. But when you think about an actor, and I liked William Shatner's Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
But you have to put yourself in that vein and say, I'm in space. I am mm-hmm. Captain Kirk. Yeah. I am boldly going where no man has gone before and all
right.
of that. But to truly experience it, mm-hmm. I mean, and not to Jesus juke things, but I was just reading in Hebrews mm. earlier about how the tabernacle that Moses made with the Israelites, how that was just a shadow and a foretaste uh-huh. of the things to come.
Uh-huh.
And I think about that with William Shatner, where it's like he had kind of this glimpse through all the technology and the acting of what space was, and then he actually got to see it,
uh-huh.
to experience it, and it's like, wow, this was indescribable. And how small of a taste, the goodness of God we experience in this life, how small a taste is that of the richness of being in his presence forevermore when we're reunited in heaven.
Well, based on all, I got two songs here ready to go out of that. As you're talking about astronomy and just how vast God is, I'm thinking of Hillsong, So mm-hmm. Will I 100 Billion Times. But prior to that, Nuso, we talked about him going where no man's gone before. New song back in the day, a song called Where No Man Has Gone Before. WWIB 49 Degrees. Good morning, October Connect Month, a Thursday morning. Hey, just a quick update on what's going on. Teamwork Africa, the 10th anniversary celebration that's going on tonight at Peace Church in Eau Claire. And my wonderful wife, Peggy, of almost 23 years of marital bliss. And we are... tonight, though, we got the big Teamwork Africa celebration going on. Doors open at
Easter.
6. And, the meal at 6:30. And she's busy, Caleb. Not only with that, but lo and behold, it's the one day you can have teacher conferences in Eau Claire. So
everything is coming together on one day.
She's got her first conference to talk to Michael or Elena's teacher at 7:45. So she's with us now. Good morning, honey.
Good morning.
All right. So busy at the church over the last couple of days. And last night, the meal prep. Tell us how things sit and... in terms of people's attendance even tonight, if they haven't contacted, everybody's still welcome, right?
Yes. We are definitely cooking extra. And I think this might be one of the best and closest to authentic Liberian meals that we've been able to do so far. And normally we only have water because clean water is dear to my heart. But this year it's the 10th anniversary, so we're doing something special. So we're having hibiscus ginger juice as our drink. And it's so good. So if you would like to experience some Liberian food, some Liberian music that we're going to play.
Is Mark going to be performing that Liberian music?
No, he's not. The music I play is on the radio. And so I know that the theme tonight is kind of born out of the Big Daddy Weave song, My Story. We're going to play that tune coming up, but just talk about how you felt like the Spirit spoke to you about that. So.
Yeah, I was trying to just think about how to summarize, you know, all the things that have happened in the last 10 years and just reflecting back on how it all started. And that song just came to my mind because it makes you start thinking about the ways that God has been directing your path through the story that he's telling in your life. And that really our story is really about his story. And the work that we're doing isn't really our work. It's the work that he's doing through us in the lives of people in Liberia. And I just thought that really just summed up everything that we want to be part of and that we hope to be part of going ahead in the next 10 years.
Uh-huh. And so, again, underscoring this, and we'll let you go, get ready for that first of many teacher conference calls. But the idea is that if people haven't contacted at all, we are saying to the WIB listening audience, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000. So we're saying, you know.
There's not enough pound cake for all?
Yeah, there you go. You can come, right? I mean, just really underscore that here.
Yeah, well, yeah. The church set up for more than I expected. And Dawn is cooking for more than I expected. And so we definitely have room. So, please, if you've been thinking about coming or your plans changed, you're certainly welcome to come and hear about Teamwork Africa and the work that God's doing in Liberia.
Terrific. Thank you. Love you. And we'll see you later.
Thanks, honey.
Peggy Halverson, thank you, Caleb, for that, WWIB. And again, Peace Church tonight, doors open at 6. And I know some folks who got a teacher's conference at 5:30. They're going to come after that. Dinner starts at 6:30. Come when you can, leave when you must.
Well, I enjoy French fries as much as the next guy, especially if the next guy is an American, because we eat a lot of French fries, go figure. But a major fast food chain is saying, you know what? Some French fries don't cut it. Sometimes they're cold. Sometimes they're soggy. And Wendy's is introducing their new hot and crispy fry guarantee. If your fries are not hot and crispy when you receive them, we will replace them. No questions asked. Wendy's reinvented its fries recently by testing 20 different cuts of the potato. And they say, their data says that they were preferred nearly 2-1 to McDonald's French fries in a national taste test. Now, no affront to Mickey D's, but I wouldn't put McDonald's French fries at the top of the heap anymore for myself anyway.
Some people like them. I think they're too small.
Yeah,
that's why I like the Culver's crisp crinkle fries, or what are they called?
Yeah, crinkle cut fries.
Yeah, crinkle cut. They're bigger.
Yeah.
And so Wendy's has good fries.
Yeah, I have not had Wendy's for a long time. I think Burger King makes solid fries. Culver's obviously is excellent. Arby's curly fries are phenomenal. Love Arby's curly fries. Of course,
yeah,
give me some Chick-fil-A waffle fries. Don't have them around here.
I like the Red Robin, the steak fries.
Very good as well.
And you can have like bottomless on that.
Yeah, so. So I mean, Wendy's is going after McDonald's, obviously.
We gotta say Five Guys, too. Five Guys,
I mean, get them in a cup, and they're always falling out of the cup into the bag. Yeah, so where would we find the best fries? You let us know, 715-396-1670. But where would you stack up Wendy's versus McDonald's? Because, I haven't had Wendy's fries for a long time, so I can't speak intelligently on that. But, again, McDonald's fries are fine, but I would not, even though they're iconic, I wouldn't put them even in my top five.
But credit Wendy's for going the extra mile and coming out with the slogan, if the fries aren't hot and crispy when you receive them, we'll replace them, no questions asked, and doing the research, 20 different cuts of potato. It reminds me, though, like Domino's, their new slogan is something like the two-minute guarantee. Have you seen that?
I kind of feel, if you work in an industry where corporate has put out these guarantees, does that make your job harder or easier? Because sometimes I've wondered with some of these guarantees, and I guess I think back to Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire, where Peter Parker's trying to deliver those pizzas in 30 minutes or else they're all free, and he's swinging from buildings just trying to get the pizzas delivered in time. I just sometimes wonder, is it not always realistic, especially because so many places in the food service industry are understaffed right now? Is your job just getting harder?
I mentioned having done fast food a little bit back in the day, and also twice pizza delivery. I did it for Domino's way back. I still remember Super Bowl Sunday in the 80s. And here's the thing. Even back then, my boss was taping the game, and I happened to mention the score, and I still remember, yes, that was not, like, I didn't know.
You were not his favorite employee.
I didn't know he was taping the game. And then Papa John's as well. It is a Thursday morning. It is a Leading with Power Day, actually, in the Chippewa Valley today, and that means the Eagles Club, 11:45 for lunch. And you're going to have somebody who actually has a birthday who is going to be speaking.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Happy birthday, all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy birthday, and all your dreams are true. We wish it was our birthday.
It's your birthday!
Big Bad Jimmy Waldheis on the line with us, longtime pastor at Chippewa Valley Bible Church, and enjoying a very busy retirement, semi-retirement. Good morning, Jimmy. Happy birthday.
Well, good morning, Mark and Caleb and all the people there at WWIB. It's a great morning.
Hey, happy birthday. We gave you a shout-out around 6:20 this morning, and now good to talk to you on the air. And then you're coming in to pinch hit as the speaker at Leading with Power, I understand.
That's right. With the scheduled speaker, Darren Streblo, I understand, ran into a case of COVID and isn't able to make it. So Keith called me and said, can I pinch hit? I said, certainly. So I'll be heading out to Eau Claire, or to Chippewa Falls here in a little bit and get to Leading with Power.
I feel like there's a Brewers joke that could be made here, but the pain is still too close. So pinch hitting for Leading with Power today.
What do you have in mind? What can they look forward to hearing from you this afternoon?
Well, we're going to talk about the extraordinariness of the human being, that we are all extraordinary. We're going to talk about heroes and that we can be heroes. And I'm going to challenge people to be heroes in our own circle of influence.
Mm. That sounds like it'll be a great talk today. All right. So 11:45, the lunch is always good. And you'll speak shortly after 12 noon.
I'll be there shortly after 12 noon, tell a few stories. It should be a great time, but it will be challenging because the last 5 minutes could be the most important 5 minutes of anybody who attends or listens. Mm. Could be the most important 5 minutes of their life.
Mm. Do you, when you and I were together recently, just real quick, I mean, your story about surviving, nearly drowning in Mexico is so, it could be a movie. And so, and there was a front page, we took a full hour for you to unpack that. Do you at least make references to that today?
Yes, that's one of the stories that I will be sharing because it highlights what I'm trying to get across today.
All right, that is a must listen. So, all right, people, check that out. Leading with Power, you made it tougher on all of our schedules to try to figure it out. We got to get there to see you. Happy birthday, friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, friends. Take care. We'll see you at Leading with Power.
All right, sounds good, boy. All right.
Jim Oldweiss, and again, like you said, he's coming off the bench, too, and Darren Streble couldn't make it, but in some ways, in every way, right? We serve a sovereign God. I think God wants this message that Jim's going to deliver to get out today, so we're encouraging people to join.
You know, the very first church at the fair, I can still remember. A pastor's grateful if you remember their message like 3 days later, right? I mean, the fact is, he gave a message on John 3:16, which was great. It was the very first church at the fair,
and
he is a great speaker, so don't miss that today at Leading with Power.